Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vishnu Surya Projects and Infra Limited H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Selina Sheikh from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Vishnu Surya Projects and Infra Limited H1 FY26 earnings call hosted by Go India Advisors. We have on the call Mr. R.N. Jaiprakash, Strategic Advisor, Mr. Sanal Kumar, Director and CEO, and Mr. Neelakantan, Non-Executive Director. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore moved in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. We now request Mr. Sanal to take us through the company's business outlook and performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. At the outset, the Vishnu Surya Board thanks all the investors who have logged in, and also thanks Go India for setting this up, our earnings call. I'm sure all of you are having the results on hand, and we are mighty pleased to be at this juncture to say that Vishnu Surya is maturing as one of the best mid-sized infra companies in Tamil Nadu. We have got very good revenue streams in our manufactured sand and mineral sand business. We are also playing a leading role in the water business, along with the most international players like JWIL and international companies. We are proud to state that we have now acquired a 10% stake in an annuity hybrid project where our order book will be in excess of about 220 crores, with a minimum retention of around 13%-17%, depending on the delivery efficiency and the cost of inputs. We are also aggressively pursuing our manufacturing sand business, and we are consolidating the business in the existing areas by opening up new plants and, at the same time, acquiring new plants very near to the Tuticorin Port. The Tuticorin Port has been blessed with a 35,000 crore expansion project by the central government and will be a very heraldic port on the East Coast. The requirements of our manufactured sand and the allied construction material will be there for at least 3 to 4 years at a full capacity, and we are very confident that the manufacturing sand business will definitely be increasing its scope, its variety of products, and also the solutions it will offer to the construction industry. Apart from that, we are also focusing on the urban waste management, where we have tied up with very leading players, and they have been shortlisted for orders. As we engage with these orders, our credentials will improve and will be eligible for a bigger traction of orders. We are also now learning that business very quickly. We have got a very good team in place. Our engineering team is now capable of taking bigger tasks in the waste management space. As you're all aware, smart cities and waste management is the thrust of every state government because that is the only visible cosmetic change they can bring to a city is by cleaning out the dumped yards, cleaning out the dumped sewage, ensuring that no waste effluent goes into the local ponds, rivers, etc. So there's a conscious civic uprising also wherever these rains are flooding and the sewage is leaking into the drinking water sources. There is a lot of urban opprobrium, and the government is really focusing on ensuring that on a national scale that the cities will become clean in the next 10-15 years. India has got a lot of legacy waste, and I'm sure this is a never-ending business for companies like Vishnu Surya who can really scale up their ability to manage this urban waste. With regard to our EBITDA margins, we are very healthy, as you would have seen, and our turnover is going at a very consistent pace. Our excess of 50% CAGR and 44% growth of the revenue. We are confident that we will achieve this with very, very limited debt requirements as our internal cash flows are robust, and the current year, we are on track to achieve a 50 crore plus profitability. And I leave the floor open to any questions you may ask. We have all the results in hand. We are open to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from Shikhar Mundra from Vivog Commercial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I want to understand what is this investment of 59 crore on the balance sheet? Secondly, are the other assets of 80 crore? And thirdly, what are these loans and advances of 30 crore? Can you explain me each of them?
Yeah, I will take it line by line. The first is the asset what we are developing along with Brigade. It is 140,000 square feet of area. The company will get mid next year. This is a rental property. The company surplus land has been given to a joint venture with Brigade. So the value of the land that is captured in the books is that value. The asset when monetized and when when the building is completed and let out for rent, we'll have a 14 crore rental per month, an asset value of in excess of 200 crores. That is the value of that asset.
So that's getting reflected in the 80 crore entry, right?
No,
58 crores.
58 crores.
That's the value of
business. Okay. Got it.
Yes.
And when will the rental start?
Yeah. Rental will start second half of next year. It is progressing at a very rapid pace. So they will probably hand over the fit outs by February or March. So the rentals will commence from June. There will be a 3-month hiatus for completing the interior.
Now the building is being constructed. What is the state of the building right now?
The building, I think they have come up to 4 to 5 floors. Brigade is doing it. They are putting out a floor a month.
Okay. Got it. All right. And what about the other assets of 80 crores?
One moment, sir. I will give you the breakup. This will be primarily the land which has been aggregated for the purpose of the manufactured sand business. So we have lands in Hosur, we have lands in Arbukote, we have lands in Walaja. All the land values will be reflected in this.
Okay.
Apart from this, the various machinery what we use to excavate, to manufacture the manufactured sand, all the crushers, grinders, all the separating machines, all that are on the various sites.
Okay. But isn't the land and the machinery will be part of the fixed assets, sir? I am asking the other assets of, I think, 83 crores.
Of which about 60 crores is towards the advance what we have paid for property, and 7 crores is towards advance for the property. About 60 crores is the unbilled thing, which is the uncertified over value of the work, which is getting certified this month. Last month the portion has got certified, and balance hopefully by this month we should get it certified.
Okay, so this is unbilled receivables, 60 crores. So this is basically part of the EPC business.
Okay, it's a part of the EPC business, you're right.
So that's a process in the EPC, no? You keep doing work. So you recognize the, as per accounting standard, you recognize the work what you have done, but some of the work may be uncertified. It's a continuous process. Each project will have its cycle. There will be a billing cycle and there will be a certification cycle. Yeah.
Got it. And the third part was the loans and advances. Just wanted a clarification on that.
Can you let us know the long-term loans and advances or the short-term?
I think this is the...
Can you tell us the number, please?
The long-term loans and advances of 30 crore, sir. I'm sorry. It's the short-term loans and advances of 30 crore, sir. So is this also some part of the business?
Yeah, that is advance paid to the suppliers for our waste management project, where we are given an advance. For the sale project, we're going to advance about 7.5 crores. So I think about 13-14 crores, that is a major thing.
Got it. So I'm asking this because at a company level, we are still not able to become, generate cash flow from operations significantly because of this money getting stuck in this working capital. So just wanted to understand, when will the cash flow from operations, look in line with the
profitable. Cash flow from operations is already positive only. If you look at, we have a positive cash flow of 17 crores from operations.
Okay, okay. And secondly,
essentially what happens is, when your turnover increases and your EPC also increases, at various sites, the work will be commenced. So at that time, there will be a mobilization advance, there will be equipment that are being hired out, deposits for those, preparing the employment, the laborers' quarters, all those things. All those things have to be done for you to execute those works. So initially, there will be, and over a period of time, this will result in a bigger billing.
Got it. And secondly, how is the outlook for the second half looking like? What kind of revenues are you expecting, and what is the split between the mining and the EPC segment?
Yeah, give us a moment. So the second half, I think...
170 already done, sir.
Sir, no, we are progressing around 400 crores for the full year, out of which we have captured 170 crores for the first half. So you can expect a minimum of 220 to 230 crores for the second half.
And how will the split look between the mining and the EPC segment earlier?
So the manufactured sand business will be around 40%. The rest will come from the EPC and the sewage management business.
Got it. So right now, are all our plants fully utilized in the manufactured sand business? All the machineries, are they fully utilized, or there is more scope for expansion?
Except on the rainy days, they operate at 100%.
Okay, so right now we are at peak utilization in the manufactured sand. All right.
No, there's a non-stop demand, because you see, we are very strategically placed on all the national highways where the project is happening, either a road project or big infra projects. So, and we are the nearest point for most of these big RMZ manufacturers. We are at the for the national highway, we are at the nearest point. Otherwise, this material, it costs more to transport than to manufacture. So they would like to prepare it to keep it near the work spot. We are hardly 20-22 kilometers from most of the major work that is happening in Tamil Nadu.
Got it.
And also, by default, we'll be the cheapest in terms of transportation.
Got it. Thank you, sir. And I'll join the queue back for further questions.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from Smith Jain from KTech Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I'd like to understand a few things, right? One is, I'm still not very clear with the business model that we currently have, right? Like, we have two verticals. One is the mining vertical and the EPC vertical. In the EPC vertical, we, you know, spread all over, right? Like, we are constructing roads also, we're constructing, we're doing like waste management also, and we're doing other sorts of projects as well, right? Railway construction and all of that. So I'd like to understand, where exactly is the company's focus, and where exactly is the company's specialty when it comes to EPC? That is the first question. The second question is with respect to the mining thing, right? Like, you said that we are operating at like 100% capacity, but when I see at the presentation, when I look at the presentation, the utilization rates are, sub 50% in like a couple of our, out of the three mines, and a couple of, at two mines, we have a capacity utilization below 50%, right? So, where exactly is the confusion in our understanding? I'd like to understand that, right?
Yeah. So, let me lead you through that. The first question is, currently we are focused only on the water and the sewage, because then the value of the orders are more and the traction. There could be some small legacy projects which we are completing. But going forward, our focus will be only extremely on the desal plant work, the sewage opportunity, because these are the biggest threats which the government is doing. So we are having tied up with Jindal Saw, looking at their peerage and their ability to be the qualified bidder for most. We decided to piggyback on these two international players so that we also get the validation. In future, we'll be able to bid for our own projects. That is the point one. So the future will be exclusively only on water and sewerage.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can see the... Do you have the presentation before you?
Yeah.
So there is a pie chart which depicts the distribution.
Yes.
Yes. So there you will see my water projects will contribute around 60%. The municipal solid waste will contribute around 10 to 12%. These are the one or two projects which are the legacy projects we'll be completing will contribute for the balance. Like stormwater drains, they're hardly 1%. These are all legacy orders. The lift irrigation is a very profitable, again, quasi water management. So all these things, so the breakup is very clear. So we are primarily focused, 50 to 60% of our revenues will come only from water infra projects.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. With regard to the mining, our throughput, you see, when you start a mine, there's a you get the blocks are made into manufactured sand, the blocks are made into gravel as per the customer requirements. So when I mean efficiency, I mean efficiency of breaking the bulk, making it into smaller parts, and then sustaining. So that works around, when I mean, as I said, with the caveat, rains, we can't do much work because the work at the sites will stop, so they will not pick up the material. So barring the rain time, my throughput efficiency will be 70 to 90%. On a clear sunny day, my throughput will be full. If there is a rainy season, the work at the site will stop. So they will not pick up the material.
Okay. So just to
we can manufacture sand throughout the year. There's no problem. But there's no point, no spending power and everything to dump it and keep it when the rains are there. So ours will be a mix of, at the rain time, we are prudent not to produce too much.
Fair enough. Okay. But like just to understand the mining bit a bit better, let's say suppose, you know, we are targeting to do 40% out of the 220 crores that you would be targeting for H2, that is close to 100 crores, right? 80 to 100 crores.
Yeah.
So for the full year, what we can do is 200 crores, right? So is that the peak sort of revenue that we can foresee in the coming years with this, across these three mines?
That's why, no, I said while we are very mature in this business, we are also taking a view on the Thoothukudi port. We are finding it's going to be a next 3 to 4 years non-stop capex there by the government, and 60 to 70% of every project is only construction material, apart from the labor, the filling material, the manufactured sand. Without that, you can't. And with the government and the pollution boards severely curtailing river sand production, the only alternative is we are actually the most environment safe method of manufacturing sand. So while it may seem mining, but actually we are doing manufactured sand, where it is an alternative to the river sand. The river sand is the most hazardous thing that which is actually dampening the environment and all the associated evils. Our manufacturing, now every government, every international project will only use manufactured sand. They will not take river sand. So we are ideally placed. We are hardly 12 to 14 kilometers from the Thoothukudi port. And in some parts of the area where the port is expanding, so between 12 to 30 kilometers only is my lift-off area. So that means we'll be the most inexpensive in terms of transport costs for the port.
All right.
And we have reserves. We estimate the reserves to last for about 7 to 10 years, very, very conservatively.
But what I was getting at, like from these three mines that we currently own, the revenue peak potential in a year is not going to be more than 180 to 220 crores. Is the understanding correct? Like, I'm assuming.
Yes. You are correct. You are correct. But again, with the caveat, is my reserves are huge. If the government announces any big project, all I have to do is install more machinery. I'm not going to search for raw material. My raw material is lying there in the ground. There is no shortage of raw material. If the government says I want to expand a 4-lane Krishnagiri to 6-lane, I'm prepared for it. Currently, I'm supplying for a 4-lane. If the government says let us do 6-lane. Let us do some 100 bridges to make the it an expressway. I have enough raw material to expand my production. Only thing, I have to put those Kobuto machines. I have to put some more workers. That's all. My raw material is there. My system is there. My process is there. I will have to put in the machines for crushing the raw material.
Fair enough. So what we are saying is, going forward, like the capacity that you've mentioned right now in the presentation, that is the current capacity. If suppose the government amplifies the the flow of or the demand increases, you all can install more capacity. You all can install more machines, and this capacity will go up, right? Like that's what we're saying within these three mines itself.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to be too forward-looking on a call, but you understand. India is now making all 4 lanes or 6 lanes. The volume of traffic, and then now to ease out all the bypass, they are building bridges left, right, center. So there is going to be a huge activity on the NH, sluicing them up, and also the maintenance of the NH. So that wears and tears every day. So my demand is almost certain for the next 10 to 15 years.
Sir, no,
and we don't do marketing.
just to play on the other side, right, like the devil's advocate, because our minds are restricted to the Tamil Nadu region, right? Like when we talk about the entire Indian opportunity, mining is a business wherein the transport cost is the highest when it comes to the like the entire P&L, right? Like for transporting products. So y'all will be restricted to the three areas that we currently have the mines in. So are we exploring other mines also in other geographies?
Yes. See, that's why we are very conscious. We ensure that the buyer has the least transport. The transport cost they are bearing, we are not bearing. But apart from transport cost, from a logistics nightmare, if it is only 20-30 kilometers, they can have a fleet of trucks operating 24 hours. Otherwise, what will happen is, if it goes beyond 40, 50, 60, so much of, they have to have extra trucks, because the number of trips a truck can do will be reduced, the more the distance. Suppose a truck can do 4 trips a day, it will come down to 2 trips, which affects their production schedule.
Correct.
So they will like a quick turnaround time, because these are all heavy materials. They look at quick turnaround time, and they, 24 hours they require a material aside when they are pouring concrete, because they have organized the labor, they are hiring machines at even 8 lakhs, 9 lakhs per day, all those huge machines. So those machines without this material will suffer. Their RMG plants cost some 10 lakhs a day. Without 5 lakh material, the RMG plant will shut down. So they have to ensure that the turnaround time is quick. A truck starts, within 1 hour it's in the site, comes back, picks up the next load and goes. So that way they employ fewer trucks, have more predictable manufacturing schedules.
Fair enough. And like just to the last question that I have is on our focus area, right? Like because APC is a more service-oriented business, the scale-up can be much faster, right? And vis-a-vis the other vertical that we have. So are we focusing, like is the focus of the company more towards winning larger EPC projects and, you know, doing niche sort of EPC projects and enhancing our revenue, or we want to scale up the mining business as well by acquiring more mines in different geographies and, you know, continue with the same business model? Where exactly is the company's focus? That's something I wanted to understand.
So to emphasize our vision, with regard to the EPC business, we are very clear. All international projects funded by JICA or some international agencies along with the central government are those projects we will work. Because we don't want to take any credit risk on state governments, municipal bodies, etc. The work is plenty there. But the last thing we want to do is go for those risky type of business. And we really, really want to work shoulder to shoulder to people who have the capability. Like Jindal has the capability. If it's a water project, they have the pipes with them. So no, I don't have to guess whether the pipes will work, whether they'll be of inferior quality or superior quality. And these are all national projects where the, you know, government has taken very good pride. They want to supply drinking water. I want to be very careful. I will sail only with them. With regard to the diesel plants, these are all international contracts funded by international agencies. And some of the international players have solved some unbelievable complex solutions. So I don't want to learn anything on my run. I am going to piggyback on them, keep improving my knowledge curve. So when a time comes, maybe I may do a smaller project on my own name, and they are also not ours. Or they may allow me to take a bigger share. Now they have given us 10% based on our balance sheet size and our capability matrix. If we perform well here, my next project I can go up to 20. But we want to piggyback only with these proven track record satisfying companies than try to take any adventure by ourselves. With regard to the mining business, we are again quite clear. We are following the investment outlay of the government. If an opportunity persists in any other state where the government is announcing a central government based huge, be it a national highway or a port or with regard to an airport, at those locations, if we are able to acquire land, we will go out and acquire. Like Chennai airport, when the airport opens, the Parandur airport, which now looks a reality in about 1.5 years, we will be the biggest supplier for the project, because our mine is around less than 40 kilometers from the airport. So that means no other mine owner can match the cost what I'm giving. And for the volumes they will require, it has to be a non-stop turnaround. 24 hours the mines have to run. Pardon me?
Sorry, I was saying that the mining business, I'm assuming, is going to be a more thought-driven sort of a business vertical wherein we won't be going very aggressive. We'll be only cherry-picking where we want to, you know, acquire a mine and where we see an opportunity for the next 5-7 years. That's the business model going to be like for the mining vertical. EPC is more aggressive.
I tell you, there is plenty of opportunity, because if the government really wants to build this infrastructure, we are about 40 years, 50 years behind any Asian nation.
Correct.
I think we are 50, 60 years behind of China. The number of airports they build, and the number of airports we are building, the number of metro that is coming up. Like metro requires some, if they expand by another 100 kilometers in every city, I don't think there is enough raw material to supply. So each direction it is 100 kilometers metro. Like Chennai started with 12, now they have done 64, now they are talking of 180 kilometers.
Correct.
And we have all the pillars, all the ballast, everything runs on the manufactured sand. Then this material has no, the only thing we have to be very conscious is near to the site. That is the only conscious decision we have to take. The rest are all actually commoditized. If you ask me, it's all German machines or it is all Japanese machines, it's a standardized. The manufacturing pattern is standardized. The sizes are standardized. The rates are standardized. Absolutely no risk.
Correct. Yeah. Fair enough.
And the payment is spot on. You know, see L&T, AFCONs, all of them, we don't supply to any small parties. All the seven parties, they come, they sign the yearly offtake contract, and the moment my goods go out, within the third day, the payment hits my bank.
So the payment cycle is more tight in this sense.
Pardon me?
The payment cycle is more tight when it comes to the...
If I cut my raw material, he has to go 100 kilometers to get the same raw material.
Correct, yeah. So the buyer is more needy in this case.
You got the point. The buyer requires me than me requiring the buyer.
Correct. Yeah. Fair enough. I have a question, but I'll fall back in the queue.
Not a problem, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from Ankur Agarwal from Motozac LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Interesting discussion. I wanted to know, like we are very certain that, you know, this year we might cross 50 CR in PAT, but do we also have a visibility into next year projects? You know, what will it look like? Or, you know, we only have visibility like in this year itself.
No. Our order book is very robust. Definitely, you know, we will, it is already there in the projections. My mining business, we are opening one more mine in Tuticorin. So that's a huge volume business. So our capacity on mining is increasing and our order book is now almost for the next full year, we have the full visibility.
Okay, we have the full visibility. So we can full say that in our business, even in EPC, we can say, and in mining also, we have like for next 2 years, 27, FY 28.
We have the full order book. And as we speak, every day we are engaging in this water and sewerage, which definitely is the biggest business the government will do. Because all these are international projects. Like Chennai, the government has to clean up the city. Mumbai, the government has to clean up the city. You take any city, it has to be cleaned up. And with the huge urban population in a city like Chennai, and the industrial plots, which are the industrial growth that's happening in Chennai, without water, all this will fail. In fact, we have got this huge project for SIPCOT, which is a fully industrial activity. They are starved of water because, you know, Chennai depends on only one rain. So the amount of new factories coming, the water requirement is huge. It's only a desal plant which can supply the water to them. So geographically, some of the advantages, Chennai doesn't have any, the city of Chennai doesn't have a river.
We can see our company, you know, growing like this for next 2-3 years.
Yes. So he said, okay. Our faith is the government will continue to execute quality projects, which the government now has realized. To serve water and sewerage is our thrust to focus, as I told you. Only thing, if the government dampens, we could have a challenging, but there is absolutely no headwind in the business. The whole thing is tailwind.
And sir, one last question. Is there any significant opportunity that you and your team is looking at, you know, which can possibly give us a very, very big thrust or change the future of the business? Is there anything like this, you know, that we are discussing or talking about in the management?
Of course, I don't want this to be too forward-looking. Currently, we have been shortlisted by one of the biggest port opportunity in Asia, in India, where the sanctioned amount, what we believe for the full expansion, is in excess of 100,000 crores. Considering that we are now again shortlisted, where we are supplying for all the sea erosion and we are supplying the manufacturing sand to very quality vendors, I think that will be the game changer for this company. We are in very, very advanced talks. And in the presentation, if you can see, with regard to the EPC business also, the various projects that have been announced by the government for the next 3 years, next 5 years, 2026 to 2031, are some astounding numbers. And we are imminently qualified to take most of them along with our partners. So there is no dearth of business. There is no dearth of business in water, sewerage, and the supply of manufactured sand. Every big project announced requires manufactured sand. So we are symbiotic, we are aligned, and there is a huge congruence between all the different verticals of the business.
I've seen in many companies, we internally benchmark ourselves with some of our peers that, year on year, are we doing better than them or not? So, who do you consider as your peers in the industry? Maybe listed or...
Currently, with all humility, I'm a small company. First, we are benchmarking against ourselves, whether we have done better than the last quarter, whether we will do better in the next year. So first, we are benchmarking against ourselves. At the moment we come our size, definitely we are looking towards all the leaders. The first step has been signing these partnerships. Honestly, we want to benchmark ourselves. We want to become the next Jindal Saw in 5 years. So we want to learn from them, assimilate the knowledge, and then keep our best foot forward.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Chiranjeev Singh from A1 Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is regarding this, all the projects which we see in the report, and we have talked earlier also the all the investments which are coming in Tamil Nadu. So is it this all huge demand which is coming in that state? Do you foresee that the realization of manufactured sand will improve and we shall get better price and better cost and our profit margin there will be increasing? If yes, what is the anticipation of this?
Yes. Sir, very good question. We have actually been seeing a price rise. There are a couple of factors for that. One is, there are huge penalties for contractors when they take these projects because all these are international agencies funded. So if there is a delay, you are penalized. If you do early, you are actually rewarded. That is the matrix what the international agencies have put on all products. Suppose you take a product for 3 years and the hybrid annuity, the income streams, like a toll opens instead of 3 years, it opens in 24 months, you get an incentive. So all these measures, 60 to 70% of the input is this manufactured sand or my construction material. Mm-hmm. So they want to keep us happy because even a small 5%, 10% they give us, on the total sum, they make some fabulous profit. And if we delay, their project can be delayed. And they are the one penalized. We are not penalized. So they are extremely cautious. They keep us very happy. They ensure we are well funded. They don't delay our receivables because this is their, let me tell you, it is the blood supply in the ICU. You don't play the you don't get the bed black. There's no point. Whatever equipment may have, there's no point having the patient in. We are the bloodline for all these infra projects. So we are definitely confident that whatever price increase we ask, it will be genuine. We don't want to please anybody. At the same time, I always have a pricing power. They cannot drop me on price because otherwise the transport cost will go up. And where is the predictability? If I have reserves for next 5 years and this project is for 5 years. He'll want to ensure he uses my entire 5 years so that his project goes at full steam.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my next question is that how much is the remaining life of our key mines? Every mine has a different definite life. How much is the remaining life?
Yes, sir. Very nice question, sir. What we do is when we prospect, sir, we ensure that we built in a buffer for about 5 to 10 years. So, for example, if my current requirement is only 50 acres, we systematically buy land around that for at least 100, 120 acres. So, when I exhaust this mine, I can reopen the other mine, the other area. So, there is a lot of opportunity for me where I am well stocked in land. And the secret ingredient is, once I exhaust my mine, by the time the city actually develops around the mine, that will become urban land. In Hosur, we have done that. But what we bought for 30 lakh rupees is now 1 crore 30 lakhs an acre. Because Bangalore is creeping on one side. Tamil Nadu is creeping on one side. And suddenly you are finding the mine sitting in urban agglomeration. over 5-6 years, national highways connect, railway stations connect, an airport opens up in 20 kilometers, suddenly this whole piece of land becomes an urban agglomeration. And please understand, we are one of the unique players in India where we don't lease land, we buy land. It is all this company's own land. There is no government land, there is no allotment land, there is no acquisition land. Everything is freehold land, fully paid, stamp duty paid and held by the company.
So my last question, which is a bit unrelated, but just out of curiosity, I'm asking, it came across my mind. If I see Indian, South Indian states, the majority of the capex is going to two states. One is Tamil Nadu, second is Andhra Pradesh. Andhra Pradesh is second state which I see that which will get benefited with all this infra boom. Do you think or do you have thought of any or it came across your mind also to leverage that opportunity to have some mines in Andhra or some other projects or related projects in Andhra?
The opportunity serves, we will do it. Some of the big Andhra projects heads are currently working in Tamil Nadu also. So we are close to all the top Andhra contractors, you know, whether it be it a Mega or be it a KNR, all of them from Andhra, they are very big in Tamil Nadu. So we have excellent working relationship with them. If at all, they like the way we work our minds, they like our ethical way of functioning, they like the way we treat our labor. So if at all they give an opportunity, we will piggyback along with them. We will never try to take a solo risk. It is all depending. If tomorrow Mega does a huge project in Andhra, I'm sure they'll be more than glad to give us the work. If GMR does a huge project, they'll be more than glad to allow us to operate the mines.
Okay. So you will...
But honestly, the amount of infra grade in Tamil Nadu itself, it is too much on anybody's plate.
Yes, yes.
Like I tell you, if the airport is launched, it's a 15,000 crore project. Out of which raw material will be 6,000 to 7,000 crores.
That's fantastic. As an investor, I would also like to have a concentrated opportunity so that risk is
mitigated. Once the airport starts, see the airport, the Tamil Nadu airport, Parandur, 18,000 crore is the project estimate. And we are going to have one more airport in Hosur. And as God wills it, both my mines are within 30 to 40 kilometers. If it, of course, an airport will be running for 8-9 kilometers. So if you say one point maybe 20 kilometers, other point maybe 30 kilometers. But it, I am actually irreplaceable for them.
Yeah. Cool. Got it. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I also appreciate the questions of a very high quality. We admire that.
No, I think you didn't recognize we have interacted quite a lot earlier also during this conclave in Bombay.
Oh, wonderful, sir. Wonderful. Much appreciate. Much appreciate. Sir, for taking time. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Amit Shah, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
You're very, very clear, sir. Loud and clear.
Thank you, sir. So my first question is, how do you look at the ancient business? My question basically arises from two things. I believe in last 8 months, two of the Western states have gone on to have ancient policies framed. And if I correctly remember, in our last call, which happened around the same time back, as well as the mention of expansion in Maharashtra. Now, my question arises because I see ancient policies getting framed in states other than the federal, which were the leaders previously. And my understanding as well says that if the ancient policies are being framed, there might be a capex coming in. So, how do you see your ancient business in this way as well as part of your collective revenue going forward? In this way or the other? If you can explain that, sir.
Yeah. See, currently, Tamil Nadu government has a policy approving for MSANT policy. All our mines have got the PWD approval for the MSANT. So, in terms of the government approvals, we are proper in with the regulations.
No, that I understand, sir. I'm talking about the expansion and how you see the business growing. Because See, frankly, when I the Hosur Airport is not approved right, yet, right?
No. In Chennai, I'll come to both the airports. Parandur is 50% of the land is acquired, and the preliminary works have already started with regard to the planning. Everything has been frozen. And Hosur also, definitely the airport is required, because it will be the breather to the Bangalore city. People travel three and a half hours, land in Bangalore to go to Whitefield, they spend 2 hours. So if the Hosur airport comes, it's a phenomenal link for the residents of Bangalore as well as the residents of Tamil Nadu, who travel to Bangalore almost at the drop of a hat. So the Hosur airport will, and the amount of industrial establishment that have come up in Hosur is mind-boggling. You have all the auto majors, from a TVS to an Ashok Leyland, to most of the spare part manufacturers of the big automobile, and Tata's biggest Apple factory, manufacturing factory is in Hosur.
I understand, sir. I understand that. I'm aware of that as well. My question only arises from the point that if we are waiting for Hosur to arrive, are we overlooking all the other opportunities which are happening otherwise out of the state as well? Because as I understand, we were one of the first movers in Amsterdam as an entity, let's say. And we probably have the maximum capacity as well. Forget about listed
yes.
And listed. I have the unlisted space as well to an extent.
Right? Yes.
And the same thing is getting replicated in other states which are equally fast in developing the infrastructure for industrialization as well as the commercialization. So my only question is, are we waiting for certain opportunities? I don't mind that to be very fair, but are we waiting for certain opportunities or we are going ahead of those opportunities as well to acquire business which is more of a commodity and where we have a clear view and understanding both?
Sir, well, definitely we are not defensive. We understand that the opportunities, one or two could be going away from our hands, but we are first our ROC should come, sir. I don't want to buy land at a very high price and affect my ROC. So my first priority is if I'm putting money on land, which I cannot sell for the next 15, 20 years, because I'm going to utilize the land. Then I want to put out that amount of money. I want to spend more on machinery. So I want to keep the land cost low so my ROCE is not affected. Second, I should be able to buy a sizable land so that as and when the project expand, I have enough raw material to supply. I don't want to supply for 3 years and then shut shop. That will affect my credibility, because the same parties in Bangalore, the same parties in Chennai, the same parties in Hyderabad are the same contractors. It's the same L&T, it is the same AFCONS, it is the same KNR, and it is the same Mega. So I don't want to lose my traction with any one of them. The second point is, if I am going to focus my site next to a international project like the Tuticorin port, which is financed by international agencies, the Chennai airport, which will be financed by a consortium, and the Hosur airport, and the other opportunities I'm currently working, I really want to ensure that when I quote, and when people ask me, I want to be in a position to deliver my full output to them. That is why you see I'm operating at 70 to 80% efficiency. I don't want to test anything in greenfield. Everything will be led to the expenditure by an international agency coupled to the government. So that is why. So we are not losing any opportunity. We are cautious. Otherwise, what will happen is the land price can kill us. Whatever benefit we get in the sale, the land, it will be offset with the initial investment on the land.
I understand, sir. Thank you for the clarification. Can I ask, how do you see your Amsterdam part of the revenues, or rather, how much would be Amsterdam going forward? If you can give some idea about that.
Yes, sir. See, currently it is at 40%, sir. It will definitely be between 40 to 50%. So, but tomorrow I take a very big water project. It is not that it's shared. It will grow organically. But its share in the total revenue may come down depending on the bigger projects I take.
Yeah, understand, sir.
Now,
my second question is regarding the SIPCOT project that we have just won. So if my understanding is correct, the project size is about 2200 crores. And
yes,
our share probably would be around 230 crores.
About 220, yeah. 230 crores, sir. You are right.
220 crores, okay. So, if I may ask, how much are we going to, do we have to contribute anything for CapEx? For that particular
Yes, sir.
How much is the
It is not much, sir. It's a very thinly capitalized company. because most of the equipments can be taken on hire. It is not that you have to buy some huge equipment. Barring there is some site work, that's not my, because all, most of these are specialized machinery, and the majors themselves have all of the machinery. So we will have to only furnish, for example, a 2,200 crore project may have around 200 crores requirement for bank guarantees and performance guarantees. If it is 10%, which is 200 crores, we have to provide around 5 to 10 crores of bank guarantees, which we are well equipped, sir. We already have limits from ICICI, SGFC. We are more than comfortable to, with our internal cash flows and our existing limits, whatever contribution we have to make, we are ready for it. And we do it in phases. The entire 220 crores is not done in one day. Progressive billing, 5 crores, 4 crores will be the bank guarantees opened, for which we are already having the limits. We are fully financially closed for that project.
Right, I understand, sir. And this revenue stream is till 10 years, right?
Pardon me?
This contract to work.
Yeah, the O&M annuity is for 15 years.
So for 15 years, okay. So,
yes,
I assume that in H2 next year, what we'll have is two streams of fixed revenues coming, one from the SIP code project and other is from the brigade driver assets.
Yes, sir. So the brigade is a self, is an annuity business, sir. The moment I develop, no, it is probably in one of the most marquee locations in Chennai city. The surrounding area has clients like Amazon, PayPal, Virgin. You know the who is who of the Fortune 100 are sitting on that road. Already, Brigade has received soft offers from all these majors. So the moment we complete the building, it will be let out, sir. There is no speculation on it is getting rented out.
Right. So from H2 next year. That was my expectation also. My question was, from H2 next year, will there be a set flow of revenues coming from these two projects? You already mentioned 14 crore per month revenue from the brigade.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's about 1,26,000 square feet billable area. About 100 rupees is the rental, sir. So you should be getting around 12.6 crores at a minimum level. Plus you will get some CAM charges.
And SIP code revenue as well, can we consider on monthly basis if there is a possibility of that, or that would be long?
Pardon me, SIP code revenue?
Will come on monthly basis or that will be lumpy?
After 2 years commissioning?
No, sir. After commissioning, it will be an annuity. Till commissioning, it's a progress billing.
Okay.
So this 220 crores is our construction work what we are getting. Post that will be the O&M income.
Understood, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Dipesh Sancheti from Mania Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. We mentioned that we have an order book of 526 crores. Can you provide a detailed bifurcation segment-wise? Since we do ETC in 4 to 5 verticals, that is water, highways, railways, and waste.
So what we are given in the presentation itself, it's project-wise only. So you have the water infra, water distribution project of 300 crores, the lift irrigation for 170 crores, and
the stormwater. Right?
Yeah, it's in the pie chart, and just below that you have a table also.
Okay, how does the revenue booking work across these segments and what is the typical payment timeline?
It's all progressive billing. There are two concepts. One is your progressive billing as per the accounting things, and one is for the department. So the revenue recognition happens as per the accounting standards, and the department will have a milestone where they will be having the billing stage, so billing cycle. So that's how the revenues are booked typically.
For FY26, what is the projected revenue contribution of the mining segment specifically?
Mining should be around around 140 to 150 crores.
140 to 150 crores. Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the ROE of each of these businesses, especially the water and waste?
Water and waste, it's ROE.
Yeah. And the company as a whole, what is the ROE?
Yeah, no, my yearly per water on the ROC working. Well, give me one moment.
If you can answer, what is the cost of debt right now?
It's about 9.5 to 10%, sir.
9.5 to 10%. So what is the reason of this primary preferential fundraising?
There's some expansion plans what we are planning. I think already we are probably told that we might be expanding to one more location in the mines for the M-Sand and construction aggregates. So one expansion is coming on the way. And then one would be for maybe retiring once, maybe a small portion of debt. So primarily it will be the acquisition of the new mines. That could be a new thing.
If I can get the ROE numbers, or if it is ROE,
we have it. ROE is about 13.7, which is not annualized, so this is for the half yearly.
Half yearly, 13.7.
Okay. 7 for the company level. At present, I don't have it for the project wise or the unit wise. Maybe I will need to come back to you on this. This is the company level, and not annualized is 13.7. ROC is about 17.4, which is also again not analyzed.
So we can just tell the IR, so they can get contact us for the final figures. Also,
yeah, we will do that. Yeah, sure.
My last question was regarding the real estate, specifically the real estate which sir just mentioned about near the airport, which is around 20 kilometers from the airport.
Yeah.
The mine. So how much is the real estate is there with the company right now? And how do you plan to monetize this kind of real estate?
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, how much do we expect our profits coming in the H2 of FY26 and FY27 as a whole?
See, as I know, as sir said, in the Hosur, because of the advent of the new airport, which is proposed, and few other things, the real estate prices has gone up. But that probably will not be captured on a balance sheet at the moment, because our core activity is into production of construction aggregate in the M-Sand. So that value may be typically not reflect on the balance sheet, but however, on a realistic value, if you ask me, yeah, we have already multiplied our investment at least by 3 times of it.
I'm just saying that other real estate, how much do we have and how do we monetize it? I mean, are we going to get any lease income in the H2 or maybe in
H2? No, not in H2. The lease income should come in the first quarter of 27.
First
the building
would
be ready. Yeah.
How much do we expect that lease income to be?
See, 100 rupees per square foot and 1,27,000 square feet. So that's kind of income which would be coming.
Okay.
But 12.5 crores a month.
12.5 crores a month, you should be having it.
12.5 crores a month?
Per annum.
Per annum.
Yeah, well, that is 1,27,000 into 100 rupees is this thing, so it is about 1.2, and per annum is 1.2 for 12 crores, as I said.
12 crores per annum, which is reasonable.
Yeah.
So going forward in maybe, you know, in the next 2 to 3 years, is there any other thing in pipeline for the real estate specifically?
Wouldn't that be so futuristic if you're asking, the forward-looking?
I'm looking for as a long-term investor, sir.
No, see, what will happen is, for example, if Hosur, the land values go up, then it's a toss-up between continuing the mine or selling the land or developing it like this. Because if the land becomes an urban agglomeration, and it's say, for example, currently it's about 1.2 crores, support reaches 5 crores per acre, I think the company should take a decision to monetize it.
Right. So we are open for that also. We are just not looking at...
We should monetize that and go somewhere else. Because if it becomes an urban area, there's no point trying to... looking at the pin, I think we should try to monetize it. There's nothing wrong in this.
So how many such more mines and places have you identified, sir? Because I'm sure that you have a great ask for it.
No, our bandwidth is every 6 months we can roll out one, sir, because it's a very tedious process. So every 6 months we can roll out domain. Our current operation is looking at Tuticorin. There, because the government has already launched the mega expansion on the east coast of the, both for naval and defense and for the commercial. They have really put out 35,000 crores they are putting out on that harbor.
Okay. Great, sir. It's always a pleasure talking to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Arthur Sayed from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead. Mr. Arthur Sayed from Smart Sync Services, please go ahead with the question.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, sir. Could you elaborate on the company's future strategy and development plans for waste management division?
So we are very aggressive on the waste management. We are looking at for the opportunities on the, probably the right opportunities on getting into the waste management, be it the legacy waste management or be it if you're planning of geosynthetic or even say wastewater treatment. We are very aggressive on it. We have put a team and a set of consultants to identify projects which will be viable and rather more profitable on this actually. As the number of participants or entries in this particular business is less, we are very, very upbeat about this particular segment.
And sir, what is the revenue anticipated from this segment, waste management segment, in this year and near term future?
So this year, I think on an overall level, will be about 40 crores is what we are looking at for this year. And maybe a growth of 20% upwards, that's the target what we're looking at.
And last question on, as an investor looking at a longer term picture, how do we view your company in a 3-year time frame? Because if it is a mining company scaling up as quickly, one would want becomes difficult given the nature of mining business.
See, we want to be a 360-degree infra player. We are not just on mining. So we are into an EPC, which is one leg of the infra market, and the other, or the backward integration is the mining part of it, or I would say the production of aggregates and this thing. So I think those two verticals should go hand in hand as we grow. We'll also look at expanding on the mining front. And right now we are very upbeat on the EPC segment, especially the water area, water distributions and the irrigation part of it. We are very aggressive because the government trust on getting onto the water is very high. So we are, I think we should be growing in both the things parallelly.
And sir, what about the EPC business?
EPC also we are very, very upbeat, and we are also taking multiple projects, multiple departments, multiple units, be it water infra or be it stormwater drains, or the sewage treatments. So we are also into all those things. So it's not that we are fragmented. I mean, it's not that we are concerned one thing, but yeah, wherever trust is there, we are there.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Vimal Modi from, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you're quite audible, sir.
Sir, I mean, let me just first clarify, I mean, tell me what I've understood is correct or not. We are investing 30 crore in Tuticorin Basalt Private Limited, right?
Sorry, sir?
We are investing about 30 CR in Tuticorin Basalt Private Limited, right?
Diesel, yeah, that's the question. Yes, sir. And yes, sir. That is the overall investment proposed. Yes, sir.
And it is just for 10%.
You're right. So it is not one-time investment. This includes the bank guarantee, whatever we have to give to the government. The bank guarantee, it's a performance bank guarantee. It's about 5 to 5.5 crores. And then rest of the 25 crores, the working capital, which we might have to plow into for the project over a period of 2 to 1.5 years.
Who are the other owners of the remaining 90%?
It's a JWL, Jindals, and the ID Technologies, who's the world's largest desalination player.
They will have majority stake.
Yeah, those two people have the majority stake.
So how much revenue can be forecast from this particular investment going ahead?
See, the total revenue is for our share. The total the cost of the, I mean, the revenue of the project is 2,200 crores spread over maybe 15-16 years. Our share from the total would be around 225 crores or 230 crores.
Over how many years?
It's about 15 years. EPC is for 2 years. EPC is for 2 years and then you have an annuity for the next 15 years.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team for closing comments.
Yeah, do appreciate and thanks for a very excellent investor call. Really appreciate all the investors who had taken the effort to go through our numbers and also their curiosity and also their willingness to understand that we are now building a good company. Thanks for being patient with us, and I'm sure we'll see you soon in the next earning call with more updates and a more vigorous balance sheet and P&L account. Thanks for you. Have a great day and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, we conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.